WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, having our wise conversations around here with friends during Preakness Week. A hell of a week here of current stuff and a couple of throwback pieces around here as well. And who knows, Adley Rutschman might even be up. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving some Betty Boop scratch-offs away at the Land of Kush on Wednesday. And if you hear this in the aftermath, you'll hear about my vegan crab cake. Dhruv Vigneraj is going to be stopping by to say hello, as will Brooke Learman and Kirby Fowler, who will be promoting Brew at the Zoo. It is all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as Goodwill Industries. I have my Goodwill shirt. I got my Window Nation stuff around here somewhere as well. They're our newest sponsor, 2-for-1 Windows. We'll be talking about Window Nation. Preakness happens every year. I get excited. Get a hat, you know, get a shirt, press myself up at Zips, get myself together, take my wife out. And we've been worried about it for a long, long time. This guy comes on and quells all of the thoughts of the Preakness being anywhere other than at Hi-Ho Pimlico. Bill Cole joins us here. He is former councilman, now a partner at Margrave Strategies, but most importantly, the man who knows all about the new Pimlico. What's going on, Bill? My former neighbor, always my friend. And how's life in the city now that I've abandoned Baltimore?
We miss you. We miss you. Sorry you moved, but I appreciate the fact that you continue to do all things Baltimore Positive. We appreciate you.
Well, dude, I'm in the city like 5 days a week. I mean, the hardest thing now, and I've just resigned that, like, parking is going to cost a few bucks when I come in. It's never really a hassle because I know Baltimore well enough to know where to go, where not to go, and parking. But there is a consideration. I went down to a ball game. I went down to Baltimore Homecoming, and I parked in the Lexington Market parking lot that I know very well. Went to Fadley's, walked down Utah Street, did the game, did Lexington, got back. But that's my only issue. My only issue is where to park instead of walking home or Ubering home, because I love the city and you love the city and we love the Preakness. Preakness, speaking about parking on Preakness Day, that sucks. That's always sucked. But it's something I don't mind, the drive up Northern Parkway. Bring everybody up to, it's 2022. I've had you on in 2021, 2020, and, you know, we're going to lose the race. We're wearing pins, like all that stuff. Where are we right now and what should people confidently go to bed in this region knowing about Pimlico, the Preakness, the race, and this week?
So I'm going to give you a really, really quick synopsis of where we started and where we are. 2019, it looked like we were going to lose the Preakness. It was going to go. The ownership of Maryland Jockey Club, the Stronach Group, was pretty clear that they didn't think they could make Pimlico work anymore and wanted to move the race out of Baltimore. We had the big fight with them in 2019.
And that wasn't a bluff, right?
No, it was not.
The bluff of moving the franchise. Look, man, we've been involved in this all of our lives, right? Like, we lost the Colts. We had to go find the Ravens, like all, losing things and all of that. There's the bluff of, if you don't build us a stadium, Buffalo will move, right? But they don't really want to move. There's these people, Bill, I've been doing this my whole life. I don't even know who runs the place. I don't know if I have a press credential this week or not. It's only like Tuesday. I send emails into the Cosmos. They had a draw on Monday night. I found out where it was after it was over. I like Citron. I would have gone. I like Chicago. I'd have gone. I it's unbelievable. I've always felt like these people really kind of wanted to move the race. That's kind of how I've always felt about it.
It was clear. I mean, it wasn't a threat. I mean, it was an action that they wanted to take, and the city successfully fought back. And prevailed in the 2019 session. And then we had to come back to this awkward summer where we had to sit down across from the table with one another and figure out what the future would be for Pimlico. We came up with a solution and became really partners in trying to find a path forward that would ensure that the Preakness would forever stay at Pimlico. The legislature supported us, and we were able to walk out of that 2020 session with hundreds of millions of dollars to put into both a brand new Pimlico, and I mean a brand new, complete scrape, rotate the track, mile oval, come back with a brand new clubhouse.
Why does the track need to be rotated? I'm just asking. That's it. Because I've heard a lot about that this week, the track rotation. I didn't get that part of it a year or two ago.
The track rotation, if you think about where Pimlico sits right now, it's at an angle between Northern Parkway and Belvedere, and it cuts off a lot of connections to the surrounding communities. One of the benefits of rotating the track is that you can create development opportunities around the track so that it doesn't feel like it's just a closed-off oval year-round. We really want Pimlico to be a community amenity. We want it to be something that feels like it belongs in Park Heights. as opposed to intersects with a bunch of neighborhoods that doesn't really connect. We also have to do a ton of utility work on that site. And if you're going to dig it all up, you might as well take advantage of that. So rotating the track made a lot of sense. Opens up about 40 acres of development around it, connects to Sinai Hospital, connects to Mount Washington, connects to Park Heights, and suddenly it becomes a community amenity as opposed to something that just 100 acres just sitting in the middle of a community. So 2020 session went. We got the money that we needed in order to do the project. We started doing the design work. A local firm, Air St. Gross, well-known, internationally known, was awarded the contract to the Maryland Stadium Authority. They partnered with Populous, probably the world's preeminent racetrack experts, on a redesigned Pimlico and started working on that. We ran into a small problem, and that was at Laurel Park. A major tax implication to the deal that pretty much caused us to stop in our tracks, no pun intended. And we've spent about a year trying to figure out how to solve that problem in good faith.
What is the problem?
So there's an imputed tax liability that occurs on this transaction at Laurel Park that could cause the Stronach Group, the ownership, to have a massive tax bill. Do it once. It's not small. It's not in the single millions of dollars. It could be in the tens and tens of millions of dollars. So obviously that created a disincentive for the Stronach Group, the owners of the Maryland Jockey Club, to move forward. And we sat and tried to figure out some various options. And ultimately, lots of tax lawyers, not just in the U.S., but also in Canada, working on this problem, trying to figure out how to free up this imputed tax liability so that we could move forward with Laurel. In the meanwhile, Pimlico's stuck because the two projects are tied together. This past legislative session, the legislature essentially bifurcated and said, let's move forward with Pimlico. Let's get that work started now. And let's get that well underway while we work on the issues surrounding Laurel Park. And let's come back next legislative session and figure out the final solution for Laurel Park. So as soon as this session ended, the last 2022 session in April, the Maryland Stadium Authority was directed by the legislature to pick up the work at Pimlico and get that moving. So Air St. Gross and Populous rejoined the project. We are actively underway with the various contracts between the Stronach Group and the city to convey the land. Remember, at the end of this deal, they will no longer own Pimlico. They will simply be the operators of the Preakness Stakes. A new entity will own the facility, and then the Baltimore Development Corporation will develop the 40 acres around it. So that's work is moving.
Bill Cole is here, former councilman and now partner at Margrave Strategies, but most importantly, the person on the inside of how the sausage is made with the new Pimlico. Is this the last one in this structure? I mean, like, what's really going to be happening out there as we drive by, knowing that next week I have the Royal Farms Arena people on, right? So, you know, and I had to go to fly to Oakland last week to see Pearl Jam because ain't no Pearl Jam coming to Royal Farms Arena. But you know, construction happens, right? And I don't know that I shed a tear if I walk through the last time or whatever, but it feels like that should be coming soon if you're going to, like, is the race going to be run at Laurel for a year? I mean, what's going to happen here?
So the goal is to always run the race at Pimlico, even if we're under active construction. The agreement between the parties was to make every effort to make certain that we do not skip a year at Pimlico. What I think is going to happen based upon the timeline that we're working through with the Maryland Stadium Authority right now. Remember, they're going to construct the whole thing. We think that after this Preakness, we're working on designs, architecture, engineering. We may be able to start doing some demo, before next Preakness. Remember, there's portions of the old grandstand that could come down now. They're already cordoned off. You can't sit in them. There's no reason we couldn't do demo of that before next Preakness. I don't think you'll see active demo of the rest of the site until after the 2023 Preakness. You'll do the demo, and then they'll do the track rotation that year. It's likely that in 2024, you'll be running at a facility that doesn't have many or any fixed facilities. It'll all be overlay that year. The new clubhouse will rise, and the 2025 Preakness, if we're lucky, things would be mostly done. Complete finish date would be by the 2026 Preakness. So you'd be running 2 years at Pimlico with primarily temporary facilities. 2026 would be the year that MSA would turn the keys over to the new entity and say, we're done.
Might be the kickoff to the World Cup too, dog.
Exactly right.
Bill Cole is here. By the way, I want to get to that too. I mean, stay with one miracle at a time, will you please, for crying out loud. All right, so that picture of the glass thing that I saw a couple years ago and the artist rendering and whatever that – and it was a unique-looking structure, and sure. I sort of understood it. It looked a little bit like a train station to my eyes. But is that the same thing? I mean, you're like, we're still putting blueprints in this and that. Have we even decided what it is yet?
No, that was a concept based upon the initial architectural renderings. Probably will look similar, but not just like that. They'll go through a lot of community engagement. They'll go through public feedback, the public processes of what that building will be. It's going to be a heck of a lot smaller than the existing clubhouse. One thing that is definitely different about sports today, as you know, is that facilities don't get bigger, they get smaller. And people consume sports differently. They like to be able to walk around. They want good viewing angles. They don't necessarily want to be in a fixed seat. So building a clubhouse at 200, 300, or 400,000 square feet with a ton of a sea of fixed grandstands makes no sense. So this facility is going to be, the fixed facility is going to be rather small by comparison, but it'll have the bones of the off-track betting parlor, sports book, your wagering area, and some premium indoor areas. Everything else will be built at overlay in the new facility.
For you in doing this, I mean, you could have run for mayor, governor, council, you professor and all that. That the notion of civic duty and the things we talk about around here at Baltimore Positive and keeping the race kind of against all odds, because, you know, I knew enough about it to know that they always smelled more money elsewhere, and they were money people, and are money people. You have to have some level of pride that this, if this happens, and we'll roll that into the World Cup in a minute, because I think I brought you around in 2007 and 2008 and said, we should have a World Cup here. We should have a festival. I was talking to all sorts of people in the city about what I saw in Europe back in 2006, when I went over to Amsterdam and Germany for the World Cup. The Preakness was a World Cup that we had every year that we somehow squandered. And I've had guest after guest this week talking about that, but not fully. Squandered would have been it leaves. Now it can be rethought. And I'm not going to bring you in on this, but Dick Girardi of Rogers Forge and of now Philadelphia the last 40 years, he and I went back and forth on the Derby winner skipping this race. No bueno on that, that there may need to be new structure to the whole the way horse racing does this series. But the fact that the city, the state, the Stronach Group, television, all of that, the Triple Crown series, that in 2026 we could come out of it, doesn't feel like a long way away. Certainly doesn't for soccer games,
right?
In my mind, that we could come out of this and have a day where we have hats over there 4 years from this week, and maybe breathe new life into parties, concerts, pink parties, Thurby and Oaks and Black Eyed Suit, like all of this, that this should be a frigging BFD here. And
absolutely,
it couldn't be because jackasses were doing toilet runs and beer cans and the electricity goes out and just all of that, that it needs to be better than that. And I think over a generation, we've all agreed on that. And year after year, I sit here and do 7 days of radio about this race and its value, and having gone to the Derby and going to Super Bowls and seeing big events, that this could be where we were in 92 with Camden Yards and sort of some sort of renaissance that can happen around here. Because if in 2026 they're France is playing Senegal over at the stadium, and then next week Germany's playing Argentina, this city will never —
It'll
be unlike anything else ever. And the fact that the Preakness can be dreamed in the way that I remember it with Seattle SLU and Secretariat and affirmed at Aladar, and we did a piece with Jack Gilden this week on Spectacular Bid, that you must take some incredible pride in being involved in this and that vision, because probably why you ran for council to begin with, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a stubborn guy, and I don't like it when Baltimore loses. I remember the Colts leaving. I mean, I remember it vividly. And that was painful. I mean, you remember what that felt like. I mean, that was painful. And I
try to tell Chad Steele about that all the time. He doesn't seem to understand all that. But there's a real history here for people who are involved in sports and involved in losing stuff and involved in pride and the pride around things like the Orioles, the Preakness, the Colts, civic things that bring people together in a way that most other things don't.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one second jewel of the Triple Crown. I mean, usually in a normal year, I'd say there's only one race where you could have a Triple Crown winner coming in. But this year, unfortunately, our Derby winner has skipped. But I mean, there's only one Preakness Stakes. And if we lose it, that's something you could never replace. And to me, it just didn't sit well. The reasons behind it didn't suit me because it wasn't that the city had necessarily done anything wrong. It was the ownership of the track had failed it. They had gotten tens of millions of dollars of state money and had invested it elsewhere, maybe for legitimate reasons for their business purposes, but to the detriment of the city and Pimlico. And I couldn't digest the thought.
Well, they were scheming against the city. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, like, and the way I've been treated just on a personal level, loving the race, loving that racetrack, supporting that thing since I'm 15 years old, like, offended. Yeah. Can it be fixed? Yeah, should it be fixed? It better be fixed. Yeah. I think is what our government and people like you stepped up and said, no. F you. You're not going to be an Ursay here. We love this race. It's our race. It belonged to us long before you or Canada or even Chickie Lang and you know the Francis family got involved. Preakness 147, dude. We've been doing this a long time.
Yep. Yeah, and people like Bill Ferguson and Adrian Jones, the Speaker and the President of the Senate, and Maggie McIntosh stepped up and said, you know what, the city's not going to end up with the short end of this stick. We need to make certain that Pimlico is protected, and we did. And, you know, I'm thankful. Hey, look, Nestor, I'm hoping we talk about a Breeders' Cup at that facility at some point. If you build it the right way, which we are, with the mile oval, with a new facility, with the ability to do layout, it's not crazy to think we could have a Breeders' Cup there periodically. Breeders' Cup, World Cup, Preakness, all great things.
Yeah, well, before we build the place, you and I got to go out to Del Mar, do a little bit of recon, a little investigating.
I'm with you.
Maybe look around a little bit, see the way they're doing tracks these days. So let me know if I can be a part of that contingent. I want to bring this to you because I threw a note over to Graham. And, you know, I haven't had Terry on the show in years, and I've known Terry forever. And I have publicly said, World Cup, he ain't coming to Baltimore. He knew Wade. And I thought, you know, we're up against long odds. We're up against Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft and big cities and all of this FIFA filthy money and, you know, these oligarchs that run soccer, and they're going to want the Rose Bowl, and they're going to want Miami, and they're going to want the Dome in Atlanta, and they're going to want DC. And, you know, all of this time I've had Marty Conway's people, you got to have it in DC. It's the capital of the friggin' free world, and we're here, and it's America. They got to be in DC. As I've just annihilated all the Washington people here the last 6 weeks about, you finally needed us. Finally needed us for our stadium. Man, am I wrong in feeling that this is going to happen? Am I being too optimistic? And why have champagne out ahead of time like I did at Bo Eggers when they gave the franchise to the Jacksonville people?
I am really optimistic. So I had the privilege of leading the site tours for the training sites when the FIFA delegation was here. And the enthusiasm for what they saw here in Baltimore was legitimate. They really liked what they saw. They love the stadium. They love the proximity of the airport. They love being able to look out and see all those hotels. But they really like the training sites. I mean, we went and showed them really good college and even public options where they
tell me about this, because Petey Karinji is, you know, my lifer, my Kemosabe. He came on 2 weeks ago when we're all lathered up. I mean, we're all like, holy shit, this might happen, you know. But he had always told me that because of the coaches coming in here in soccer, that we probably weren't going to get matches, but like maybe the team from France stays here, Argentina, and they bring their fans and we become Argentina for a month because we have that. We are attractive if you are coach big of country X and you want to base somewhere. And he told the story, and it's been told a couple. Grant Wall told the story about the Germans going down to Brazil and just basically building an entire facility and leaving it for the Brazilian people, because that's what we're talking about here. So if you have something that's of value like that, so I want to hear about this, because this was the backup plan, kind of, sort of, right?
Well, I mean, remember, FIFA separated. Initially, the conversation was Baltimore and Washington might go at it together. And then FIFA required us to bid separately. And now we're back together. Read into that what you will. They loved M&T Bank Stadium. They certainly loved the fact that we have training sites that work for every possible country in terms of size. Some countries want to be on a college campus and live in dorms. Some want to live in five-star hotels. It all depends. You know, England's not going to go and stay at some remote university and stay in a liberal arts college dorm. They're not going to do that. They're going to want to stay at the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons. That's just what
they're going to want, the field underneath the stadium, and they're going to want maximum security. Like I know what the New York Yankees look like when they travel. I know what the Baltimore Ravens look like when they travel. And the German soccer team, I mean, during the World Cup, move halfway around the world. They're not staying at the Holiday Inn. No offense to a Holiday Inn.
No, although there are countries that play in the World Cup that probably can only afford to do something like that. And that's what they want to do. And depends upon the coach. The coach may want them living in really, really sparse living conditions during it, because they think that's going to motivate them. But the big teams are going to want to be more urban. They're going to live in high quality hotels. They don't want to travel far. There are requirements on how far you can travel to train and proximity to the facility. Baltimore checked every box. It really was fascinating.
Where are our facilities? Can you just speak out loud about like what they are? Or are you not allowed to tell?
I don't think I'm allowed, but
oh, okay.
But you can picture universities and other big athletic fields that are in close proximity within 15 miles of downtown that work. Your buddy Pete has one of the best facilities in the region. It's a great facility out at UMBC. So I don't know that I can speak specifically to the sites, but we have enough.
How many did you tour?
Six.
Is it six? Six? Okay. Six. Fair enough. Okay.
Six. We toured six. The hope is that we end up with several games. And I think our odds are better than they've ever been, just because of the fact that we have a really good stadium and we've got a state commitment to do additional improvements to it that was just approved.
Don't get me excited about this, Bill. Please, man. Don't get me too excited.
I try my best to remain balanced in this stuff, but I'm really encouraged by what we're hearing.
I went nuts in the beginning, because in the beginning I'm like, it's not that I'm a skeptical, I'm an optimistic person, but I'm also a pragmatist, I talked to Dick Cass, I've talked to all sorts of people about this. And the last month, there's just been a different pep in the step about like what this could mean for the city. And when you take Preakness involved in this, and like whatever Adley Rutschman dreamers there are about the baseball team and all of that that's going on, there is a little bit of mojo that would really change things here in 2026, right? I mean,
yeah,
here
I mean
what
circling,
you're talking about with Preakness, right?
Yeah, we're circling 2026 is the year we get back to 500 over at Camden Yards. Is that right?
Dude, what could I say? It's going to be
a big year. Preakness, maybe. World Cup would be one of those things, once in a generation opportunity for the city. And we've done all the right things. Terry has done a remarkable job at putting a team together that's given us the best chance we can. That should be the first year in the new Pimlico, first fully built out, done Pimlico. We could roll right from Preakness into World Cup qualifying games. Be amazing.
Let us dream a little bit. It's Baltimore Positive around here. Bill Cole, former councilman, now a partner at Margrave Strategies and lead negotiator of all things High Hope Pimlico. You got a hat picked out for the week? What are you doing?
No hat, but I got a really nice, pocket square that's going to go in there.
I got hair now, so I don't wear hats lately. I mean, my friends at Goodwill, my new sponsors, Window Nation, they don't want to send me hats. I'm like, maybe I'll wear a ball cap, at the beach or something. But right now, my flow's doing my flow. So I'm doing my thing. Bill, I appreciate you, man. We, you know, we lived a block apart for 20 years. And I don't know that I ever ran into you in the city, which is really weird. I think I've run into you in like coffee shops in the county or whatever. But I do hope our paths cross here at Preakness. And I'm very grateful and appreciative, not just your time, but your work and all the things that that all of you have done to make Baltimore better and trying to make Baltimore better. And I know it breaks your heart every time there's a tragedy and every day there's one, right? You know, at some point there is a little lift behind all this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is painful and it hurts for those of us that care deeply about the city, but I do think better days are ahead.
All right, dude. All right. Hang in there. Bill Cole, Margrave Strategies, partner there, as well as our longtime friend and former councilman. We're going to be getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I'm going to have a full schedule of places. They're not all going to be vegan crab cakes like the Land of Kush this week. I got Maryland lottery tickets to give away. A little Betty Boop scratch off. We'll be doing that. Also brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. 2-for-1. I'll be telling you all about Window Nation. They're doing our windows and I'll even put some pictures on the web when it's all over with. I am Nestor. It is Preakness Week. It is all things Adley Rutschman. Let's just hope we don't have any more 1-1s around here. Maybe we need a few more. Who knows? And it's a Ravens off season, but it's always Preakness around here. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Preakness and BaltimorePositive.com.